You're listening to All Things Considered on KTOO. I'm Yvonne Krumrie. And another episode of Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Akwan and beyond. Shagope Alfie Price was raised in a Tsimshian household. Today, he's a language learner and teacher who believes in using the power of community to strengthen the language revitalization movement. Price has studied all three Southeast Alaska Native languages, starting with Tsimshian, the Tsimshian language.
There's a fellow that you probably know, Lyle James, who speaks Tlingit, Chodkil, Tsimshian, among others. And before I started actively learning, he would greet me at the store or what have you in Tsimshian. And I sort of knew what he was saying, but I could not answer him. And I was a little bit embarrassed that this Tlingit man was using my language and I couldn't converse with him. Shagop Diwayu. My name is Shagop, which means wave maker. I started learning Tsimshian because it's the one I grew up hearing. And I know people, I know family and friends who want to learn. So that's why I started. Also, I had some prompts from my mom, who in her last few years, she started learning our language and teaching it to children. She was a guidance counselor at the elementary school in Metlakatla. And so I felt encouraged and, you know, I wish I'd started earlier when she was still around so I could talk to her on the phone or what have you, or FaceTime. And I was asked to be a, what do they call it, moderator or what have you at celebration to introduce the groups. And I decided that I wanted to be able to introduce myself in all three languages. And so I set out to do that. And they're very different. You would think here in Southeast Alaska, where we're so geographically close, that our languages would be similar, but they're really not. All three are very, very different. Sentence structure is way different, and most of the sounds are different. So there was a couple of years where I was attending classes in all three languages and trying really hard to be able to be, you know, at least have the basics down where I could greet somebody in these languages, introduce myself, talk about the weather. It's pretty fun, too, when you find crossovers. Like in Chodkil, when we greet each other, we have a word that means like hey or hi. We say ja, ja. It's got that high tone. So whenever I see my fellow Chodkil speakers, we say ja, ja di tui, hello, my friend. And then I was in a Head Start classroom fixing computers one day, and they had posters on the wall of Tlingit words. And one of them was a lady holding her finger up to her mouth, like saying shh, and it said ja. And I just, I cracked up because, you know, maybe Tlingit speakers would see us Chodkil speakers telling each other politely to shut up when we see each other. I think one of my very favorite phrases in Chodkil is it's a parting greeting, digui stish, and it means return to me. And that's just really sweet, a sweet way to part a friend. Our Tsimshian group, we met in person every Saturday. And then when the pandemic hit us, we had to stop meeting in person and switch to Zoom. So we invited our social media contacts, followers, to join us. And suddenly we had this huge group of people who wanted to learn. I'm not a trained teacher or a linguist. I never thought I'd ever have to learn the difference between transitive and intransitive verbs, but here we are. So we all know that our three languages are kind of in trouble. They're, you know, they might be considered endangered. So we definitely need more people to not just study them, but to use them every day at home, at the grocery store, what have you. I think the most powerful reason to keep at it for me and a lot of my friends is how healing it is for us as individuals and our spirits to reconnect with these languages, because we learn a lot from them. You get an understanding, an insight into the worldview of our ancestors, of the way they view the world, the way they deal with each other. And there are a lot of lessons in our languages, and they really restore. They have restored my sense of worth, of value. I know who I am today, where before I learned Tsimshian, I really didn't.
That was language learner and teacher Shagop Alfie Price for this week's Tongass Voices. And the Alaska legislature has relaunched a caucus focused on providing support to children from birth to adulthood. As Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports, the Alaska Children's Caucus comes as the state faces systemic issues in childcare and education.
Alaska faces a childcare crisis, with many urban parents facing high costs and limited availability, and rural parents facing childcare deserts. Governor Mike Dunleavy established a task force last year to address the rising issue. At the same time, public education funding has been stagnant for years, and rising inflation is leaving school districts with tough choices on how to do more with less. A legislative revival of the Alaska Children's Caucus is hoping to tackle some of those problems. Senator Lukey Tobin, an Anchorage Democrat, co-chairs the caucus.
We are experiencing a really rocky infrastructure for our working age families, with the recognition that the pandemic really disrupted many systems of support for our working age families, for our working parents. We need to have a better structure and system of how we as Alaska provide those structures of support.
The last time the legislature had a children's caucus was in 2019, formed by former Democratic Representative Chris Tuck and former Republican Representative Sarah Rasmussen. Rasmussen says the group engaged with multiple stakeholders over the course of that legislative session, but ultimately didn't get a lot of buy-in from the Senate. Before then, there hadn't been an Alaska Children's Caucus in 17 years. The new caucus held its first meeting Monday night, where they heard a presentation from the Hunt Institute, a national organization that helps legislators across the country develop plans for addressing the needs of children. Dan Worry is a senior early childhood advisor with the Hunt Institute. He says Alaska is one of 14 states with a dedicated child caucus, and early steps for those organizations include determining who will be a part of it and what sorts of infrastructure they'll need to keep them afloat. He says another thing the groups have to consider is their purpose and goals.
What will the role of the caucus be in considering legislation, and or will it be more sort of an educational venue for members? Will you hold public hearings?
Worry used the Kike Caucus in Hawaii as an example of a children's caucus that works well. He says the group has been organized for 30 years and regularly holds bill hearings and discussions over pre-filed legislation before each of the state's legislative sessions.
The caucus puts together an annual legislative package that is sort of agreed to by the caucus, and that they identify typically a package of five or six bills that they agree to as a caucus to be their kind of priority agenda for the year, and use that as an opportunity to help to advance that legislation.
Alternatively, he says many other state children caucuses serve primarily to educate other legislators about certain topics related to children. Senator Tobin says she hopes the newly reformed Alaska Children's Caucus will be a mix of approaches.
We're not trying to limit ourselves, but think about what we might need to bring to the table so that we can get to good, high quality interventions and policy that really continue launching our young kiddos into the next iterative of where they need to be.
Tobin serves on the governor's child care task force and is currently getting her doctorate in culturally responsive education. She says the caucus will aim to help unite the priorities of the multiple state systems in place that serve the needs of children but are in different departments.
We recognize that those systems were all siloed. They didn't really talk with one another. They didn't interact with one another. And there wasn't a holistic, overarching structure or plan to ensure that those systems fed well into one another.
As the caucus works through how it will operate, Tobin says there are a number of legislative items currently being discussed. They include a proposal from the governor to expand Medicaid access to public schools, which Tobin hopes will bolster behavioral health services. There's also a legislative bill that would expand access to child care for families.
So I think there's a lot of things happening and a lot of excitement from many of our caucus members. And I'm looking forward to continuing to work on that legislation, as well as look toward the 34th legislature and what things we can continue to work on and do for our working age families.
The next meeting of the Alaska Children's Caucus will be on April 11th, where they aim to hear recommendations from stakeholders in various industries involving children. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 33 degrees and snowing a little bit. This rain and snow mix is likely to continue tonight and into tomorrow, with a high of 42 tomorrow. Wednesday, it's looking like it might be sunny, with more snow and rain coming later in the day. You're listening to KTOO.